Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
How sweet it is. What a day for the crew. What a start to the road trip. 3-0 in St. Louis. They win today with their second shutout of the year. 2-0 the final. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Jerry Augustine is with us. Nothing sweeter than beating the Redbirds to open the years, make a statement early. And even without Colin Ray's best of, he got picked up by his defensive course. The local kid, Owen Miller, coming through. This was a total team effort. Really, not just today, all weekend long, as the Brewers sweep the Cardinals in their own park. Man, that feels good to say, right, Augie?
No question about it. You know, that's one thing we've seen out of this ball club, and you know, in our shows that we've talked about each and every day, you come up and it's always someone new. It's the guys going out and doing the job that you're capable of. I thought there was something that was really interesting today. How many times in the last several years when you go down a Brewer lineup that you have a starting lineup, do you have more than one or two guys hitting over 300? Not very often. Even early in the season, you don't see that a lot. Today, the Brewers had five guys that were hitting over 300, plus the Frelick, who's hitting 293. They have guys who are on the offensive side of the ball are doing pretty well. But you got to give credit to St. Louis. Gray was fantastic today. Colin Ray just does exactly what he usually does. He doesn't give in. He stays to what he needs to do. He allows his defense to help him, and the defense comes through. But after that second inning, he was fantastic, and then the bullpen took over. What a great win and a great series for the Brewers.
This was huge because Colin Ray, in my opinion, did not have his best stuff. And it reminded me of Freddie on Friday. Freddie didn't have his best stuff either, but yet he willed his way through six shutout innings. Colin wanted them to give him six shutout innings today, too, but then he walked Paul Goldschmidt to start the sixth, so that ended his day early. But for me, the moment this game was won was not when Blake Perkins made maybe the catch of the year, robbing a three-run homer from Lars Nootbaar, but when you had second and third and only one out and the top of the order up for the Cardinals in the second inning against Ray, who clearly doesn't have his best stuff, he took a gift from home plate umpire Alex Tozzi, admittedly a gift. It was a sinker off the corner called strike three. He took that gift and never looked back. He retired the next batter in a row, eight batters in a row, settled in. Nobody else touched second base until the eighth inning the rest of this game for the Cardinals. For me, that strikeout to Donovan in the second inning was the moment I realized, yeah, Brewers are going to win this game.
I agree. I think the Perkins play is just a sign of what he's been doing for this ball club, and going up and saving that home run that definitely had a lot to do with it. But that strikeout was huge, and that goes back to what Colin Ray does. And we talked about him in his last start. When he goes out, you take the center of the plate and you make a circle in the center plate. He pitches to the edges and he stays there. He doesn't give in. And today it looked like he had a little problem early about pitching to the edges, but he stayed with what he does best, using his fastball and his cut sinker and his slider and his changeup, everything on the outer corners, and it paid off. After that second inning, I tell you what, he was dialed in and he got in sync of what he was doing. I think he had one base runner after that until he walked Goldschmidt. But you got to understand what he does. He's the type of pitcher that says, you know what, the way I'm going to get hurt is in the center of the plate. And I thought early in the ball game he didn't have that good master of control in the middle of the plate. He was making some mistakes. Defense helped him out. Third inning came out and he was just lights out. It just like the dial. He got dialed in a little bit after that second inning, and he really threw the ball well. So defense always helps a pitcher, and that's you talk about the Brewers. You get good defense, you have good starting pitching, good things are going to happen, and today that's exactly what happened.
I mean, Colin Ray really just relied on his fastball and his cutter today. His sinker wasn't great, not until later in the game, but he only threw one out of 10 curveballs for his strikes. He didn't get any whiffs on his sweeper. He only threw six sweepers today. The splitter hung a couple of times, gave up a base hit off that. It was truly off the fastball and the cutter primarily, then a few sinkers in there, and man, what a gutsy, not his best performance. Going up against a guy who was one shy of his career high in strikeouts in Sonny Gray, he had a dozen today. He was dominant. Then the Brewers finally gave themselves an opportunity in the seventh with one out, a clean single up the middle by maybe everyone's favorite player now, Blake Perkins. Then he goes first to third on a single up the middle by everyone's next favorite player, Bryce Terang. And Owen Miller, with two strikes on him, it felt like every Brewer had two strikes on them today. He pulls a breaking ball in the left field to score two runs because Terang had stole second base during that at-bat. 2-0 is all they needed today. Timely offense, getting it done. I mean, if I told you that the one spot, the two spot, and the cleanup spot would go a combined 0-for-12 today, you'd be thinking, yeah, well, the Brewers are going to lose that game. Nope, they win 2-0.
It's the pitching and defense. And you look at what they said, there's a couple interesting stats that you have with the series. You look at what the Brewers did. They outscored St. Louis 14-6. That usually does not happen. St. Louis is an offensive team that scores runs. But I thought there was another stat in there, Dom, that was really interesting. We talk about a lot. And that's hitters with running and scoring, hitters with runners in scoring position. And you look at what the Brewers were for the weekend. They were 9-for-27 for the weekend, and they had 22 runners left on base. You look at that and you go, oh, not bad. 333 hitting with runners, scoring, you score some runs. You got pretty many guys on base. But then you go and you take a look at what St. Louis did the weekend. This is an offensive team that is supposed to be a juggernaut. They're supposed to score runs. They're supposed to be offensively a very good ball club. And in this series, they were 2-for-28, and they left 31 guys on base. If you talk about a difference in the success the Brewers had this weekend, and you got to give credit, defense and pitching, not only starting pitching, but the bullpen. Wow, what a great job by the Brewers to keep St. Louis 2-for-28 with runners in scoring position and leaving 31 runners on base.
Incredible stuff. The bullpen, despite all the walks, still bent a little bit on Friday, but did not break for the most part. Really great stuff to look at from this one. I got a player of the game poll up on my Twitter. That is at Dom_Catronio, Dom_Catronio. The phone number is 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. A few texts that have rolled in here. Aaron in Illinois. So much to like about this game. Won't even mention the obvious. Hudson was great again. Congrats on his first win. Pyomps was perfect. Ray gave the team an opportunity. Did the D commit any errors all series? They did not. And then we'll get into Hall and his movement with the rotation later. 10-2 on the road. A lot to like. Go Crew. That one from Aaron in Illinois. Appreciate the text there as well. This one from the 608. This one from Doug. Like John Mellencamp saying, hurts so good. Feels like that. Sweeping the cards. And Perkins is turning Mitchell into Wally Pipp. Been so impressive. We can talk about Blake Perkins. We've talked about him plenty with you, Augie. That's coming up next. Brewers win 2-0. Let's hear from you coming up after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Pitch. This is a high fly ball out to right center field. Perkins on the run, onto the warning track, backing up to the wall. He reaches up and he pulls it back. Blake Perkins, a superhero, act out in center field. And that was going to be a home run. He just took one away from Lars Nootbaar. What a play by Blake Perkins out in center. Wow.
Wayne Grindle's call back in the first inning. It saved the game. That was three runs right there, and the Brewers only scored two. What a day for Blake Perkins. He reaches base a couple of times, also scores one of the two runs, and had maybe already the play of the year, robbing a home run from Lars Nootbaar in center. I'm Dominic Catronio, along with Jerry Augustine. I know he's saying Blake Perkins' praises a lot on Friday night as he continues to swing a hot bat. He's been on base multiple times in 8 out of 13 games. He keeps getting hits. He keeps playing great Gold Glove caliber defense in center field. For me, unless something changes between now and Yelich returning, Garrett Mitchell isn't due back until the 1st of June probably for a best-case scenario. I can't right now. A lot can change in a month plus, but right now I can't imagine Blake Perkins not being in the lineup for the Brewers.
Oh, without a doubt, Dom. I think when you look at this series alone, if you have to say, is there a player, the player of the series, you'd have to say it's Blake Perkins. He's involved in the game on Friday night, scored two runs. He was involved yesterday with getting on base and playing some great defense. Today coming up and scoring, getting the big base hit in the seventh inning to get things started. And so when you look at a guy that has gone out and really taken an opportunity and really made the most of it, there's no doubt it's got to be Blake Perkins, both on the defensive side that he's played so well. He does such a great job of understanding what he has to do when he gets the ball, but on the offensive side, really giving good at-bats. He's been able to run, steal bases. A real plus for this ball club. And I agree with you. Garrett Mitchell's going to be a little time before he's going to come back. But when you have someone stepping in like Blake Perkins has, that's a real plus for not only this ball club, but for the organization and this team going forward. So player of the series, I would say, have to be Blake Perkins.
Yeah, Mike in Colorado texted this back on April 6th asking about Blake Perkins getting some playing time, and we are seeing why. What a fantastic acquisition by Matt Arnold and company. That catch may have spared a loss, and then his hit began the rally. What do you do when Christian Yelich and Garrett Mitchell get back? I mean, look, we haven't had an update on Yelich, and he's going to spend, it sounds like, at least 10 days, maybe more, on the injured list. I know he's not taking swings yet, so there's nothing to worry about with that regard, and quite frankly, when Yelich comes back, he probably plays DH just to kind of ease his way back into the lineup to give yourself some time. Because, I mean, look, Weimer would obviously go to AAA at that, but then when Yelich says, hey, I want to play left field again, then it gets tough. You know, does the Sal experiment begin with him at third base? Were they dead serious about that? Does Oliver Dunn's playing time go back down to AAA? There are a lot of dominoes that are going to fall because of Blake Perkins' elevated play. I don't think the Brewers, you know, for one, Garrett Mitchell's injury is a big reason why, but I don't think the Brewers expected to have 13 of the first 20 games with Blake Perkins in center field. And yet, here they are with 14 wins. I think they're not mad about it. I think they certainly saw him as a fourth outfielder and maybe somebody that could start against lefties, but man, I mean, the Wally Pipp thing might become a real thing right now, man. He has been phenomenal.
Well, you got to laugh about it a little bit because the way Blake Perkins has been playing. But I think when you look at the whole thing, Dom, and let's take a look at it in perspective here. The Christian Yelich, each and every year over the last several years with the injury he had with his knee back several years ago. But when you look past that, every year he's had a little issue with his back. This way the Brewers are playing right now, the way the outfield is playing on the offensive and defensive side, it allows Christian Yelich to take his time, to make sure that he does everything necessary to come back 100% healthy. We all know what he means to our lineup. There's certain guys that you have in a lineup that means so much to you. Christian Yelich is that guy with the Brewers. But at the same time, when you're playing as well as you are right now, you have on the offense and defensive side, you have guys, everybody chipping in and doing a great job. You can allow the guys who are injured to take their time. And I think that's one thing it's going to do with Christian. He's going to make sure that he's 100% healthy before he does come back. And, you know, it's just like I said earlier, and I think I took a page out of the Dom book when I came back with those stats with runners in scoring position with St. Louis and Milwaukee. You're the king of stats, and you understand them better than anybody. But that made such a big difference. Those stats are, why do you have those stats? The stats are because the Brewer offense, number one, is doing what they have to do, score runs to win ball games and play good defense and pitch. And what are they doing? They're allowing the other team to really have to work for what they have to get. And St. Louis is one of those teams that was favored in this division. But look what they just did in this three-game series. Just a real credit to this ball club right now.
I mean, I'm going ahead and dive in here a little bit with the stats. Because you mentioned 2-for-28 when it comes to runners in scoring position just this weekend against the Brewers. William Contreras alone went 3-for-4 with runners in scoring position this weekend. So him himself had more hits with runners in scoring position this weekend than the Cardinals did as an entire team. That doesn't happen because, you know, that's not an accident that he's batting second and this offense has been sputtering for the Cardinals. It's just how they've been assembled. I'm not trying to kick them while they're down, but quite frankly, they're trying to have their cake and act like the Cardinal way is the best way. The Cardinal way is dead, man. It is dead. I'm sick of hearing about their homegrown stars and how great they all are and how much better they are than everybody else. They got arrogant, and now the rest of the division, including the Pirates, has passed them by. They have the fifth worst record in baseball since the start of last year. And what do? They extended their manager, and they've extended their general manager. Keep on doing it. Makes me happy to watch a sweep in St. Louis. When the arrogant teams keep thinking like everything can be the same, be A-okay, that's not it. The Yankees have finally woken up. They went out and got Soto. They're going to give him the extension probably. They kept Judge. They went and spent on Cole. They went and spent on Rodon. They're acting like they're supposed to be. The Cardinals need to change their ways. Otherwise, the Brewers, I expect to keep on doing this. I love ranting on the Cardinals. Cardinals because they're a source of a lot of my pain as a Brewer fan when I was young and as a Rangers fan when I was even younger. There's a lot of reasons I don't like the Cardinals, but it's really fun to beat those guys. I had to get that off my chest, Augie.
That's okay. You know, you look at these Cardinals, but you got to give the Cardinals the kudos. Over the years, they are the team in the division that everybody looks to. If you look at a ball club that you want to have a team like the Cardinals, good offensive ball club, good on the defensive side, starting pitching are pretty good. But I'll tell you, last year we saw a good offensive ball club in the Cardinals. We saw a fairly decent defensive club in the Cardinals. We saw a not very good pitching staff. And see what it did? The Cardinals ended up in last place and struggling all year long. This year, they go out and they get the pitching that you think they would need. But still, when you look at this ball club, the St. Louis ball club, and you look at the way the Brewers played against them, there was no doubt which team was more hungry, which team plays better defense, which team takes advantage of situations, which team is going out there and be aggressive. That's got to be the Milwaukee Brewers. And I thought the Milwaukee Brewers outplayed the Cardinals all weekend, and it was quite evident to where they're standing right now at this time of the year.
It's been just so different to see this kind of Cardinals team the last few years. Who knows? I mean, they could wake up. We've seen that voodoo magic spark up like it did at the end of 2021, but it is what it is. This text from Ricky in Honey Creek. Holy mother loving Brewers. This team is legit. This best road record. Colin Ray is awesome. Perkins, incredible catch. Let's get healthy and beat the Pirates. Let's talk about that health. That's coming up next. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. One more segment with Augie. We're going to lead you all the way into Bucks coverage coming up at 5:30 on the other side of the hour. So we got plenty of time to talk Brewers. Enjoy this sweep over the Cardinals. 2-0 victory today. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Brewers win 2-0. They sweep the Cardinals in St. Louis. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher, with us as well. Also want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities. It's going to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. I know you weren't on the show yesterday, Augie, but it obviously wasn't great for D.L. Hall once again. And today, the Brewers announced that D.L. Hall has been moved to the injured list with a knee sprain that they said occurred on fielding the bunt yesterday that he should have let go foul, and that is velo dropped from there. He came back out in the third inning hitting 89-90, so the Brewers had plenty of reason to be concerned. They placed him on the injured list today. They brought up Jared Koenig. There will have to be a spot to be filled in the rotation for sure, but for now, for DL Hall, in my opinion, Augie, here's a young arm that gets a chance to hit the reset button. He's only five starts into his big league career. How important is this next 2 weeks or so for him to get back on track?
I think anytime you have a sprained knee and you don't have that stability when you're pitching, I think is extremely important. So the one thing the Brewers are going to do, they're going to be patient, make sure that he is 100% healthy when he throws off the mound and he's comfortable. I think when you go from there, and let's talk about D.L. Hall when he's as a starting pitcher. Here's a guy who is in spring training, was given every opportunity and threw the ball very well in spring training. I had a couple games when he pitched, and I thought he threw really well. I thought the master of what he uses in his repertoire of pitches has to come out and he has to understand what makes him successful. It looked like he has a great breaking ball. He can locate his fastball. He throws a good changeup. But how do you use him? What kind of sequences do you start using? And I think this is going to be nice for him to take a step back. He can work with Chris Hook, and they can work on what are your sequences been? How have you been approaching? How has it been in the game when you get in trouble? I think when you go into a situation like Hall is right now, number one, you get healthy. Number two, you do your work once you're healthy on the side so you can come back extra strong. But I think you look at your starts, each and every start that you've been in. What did you do positive? What were the negative things? What did you not have control? How were the sequences? And this could be a real good educational time for him because as important it is to be good physically, having a good breaking ball, having a good fastball, the changeup, and the sinker. Those are important, but as important for a young pitcher is that mental part of the game. that start stuff where you learn your sequences, you learn how hitters are going to pace you and how you pitch in a game in certain situations. I think this is going to be a good time for him to take that step back.
What I see with Hall, I know the easy comp is like, hey, look at the beginning of Corbin Burns' career. I've said it myself, too. Corbin Burns was statistically the worst pitcher in baseball in 2019. And then everyone likes to counter me saying, oh, well, Corbin had electric. No, he didn't. He had a good breaking ball for sure. We knew it was in there. And the velo, yes, he sat 95, 96 with a straight four-seam fastball. He found the cutter and became a generational pitcher. I'm not saying D.L. Hall needs to find a cutter, but for folks to act like he does not have a plus pitch between his slider and his curveball, I think both of those breaking balls are absolutely elite pitches. The problem is when he doesn't have command of the fastball and he has to rely on those pitches and allows players, you know, doesn't have command, command changes a lot of things. I believe D.L. Hall has legitimate weapons to use to his advantage. As he learns to rein them in, maybe he can learn from a guy like Sonny Gray today. Sonny just threw the whole kitchen sink today. Five different pitches, cut, sink, sweep. He doesn't throw a changeup. D.L. Hall throws a changeup. And Sonny, I don't think he threw a single ball harder than 94 miles an hour today. D.L. can sit 92, 93 and be successful as he learns to rein in his craft. We're seeing a renaissance, aren't we, Augie, of guys that don't need to throw 98. I know everyone likes to use the headlines, oh, you got to throw 98 to be in the big leagues. No, you don't. Look at the Brewers' rotation right now. You've got Colin Ray. You've got Wade Miley. You'll probably have Bryce Wilson in it now, too. A bunch of guys that don't throw harder than 94 miles an hour.
Well, the one thing they do is what do they do more than anything? Number one, they pitch ahead. Number two, they don't pitch to the middle part of the strike zone. We talk it so much about the Colin Ray. Why is he so successful in the big leagues? Because he plays with the corners. He plays up in the strike zone. He plays down with the strike zone. And he uses his breaking ball and his changeup and his fastball effectively. And I think that's what you get with Hall, what he's going to be able to do. One thing about Corbin Burns. Back, I believe it was 2018 when he had the ERA about 8 and he was struggling and all that. He went into the science lab and that's when they said he found that cutter or that slider and that's what made him. I don't really believe that the cutter made him. I believe that command of his fastball, being able to say, I can throw it to good spots. I have my four-seamer, I have my two-seamer, which he could command for the strike zone. I thought it was a big part. But I thought the big part that I saw a change in him, confidence in his curveball. When he needed his curveball, if he didn't have the cutter, he didn't have the other pitches, he could throw the curveball for a strike. Then all of a sudden, when he got confidence in his curveball, all of a sudden the cutter became stronger and it became his signature pitch. So I think when you look at Hall, he might be along the same travels with him, is having not only confidence that you can locate your fastball, but be able to locate that curveball. Confidence in a curveball that you can throw for strike is one of the best pitches in baseball. You've got to have a fastball. You've got to locate it. But that secondary pitch throwing for strikes is important. I think he's following that same kind of way that Corbin Burns did. Corbin Burns, when he had that good breaking ball, I remember doing a game with him in spring training. He had the good breaking ball. All of a sudden, the cutter came out, and for three innings, he was unhittable. And I think D. Hall is kind of that educational part of baseball where he's going along the same path.
He's got a lot to learn. Again, we're five starts into his big league career. He is under 6 years of team control. He is going to be just fine. Let's let him get healthy and then reassess him there. Remember, Jacob Junis will be due back at some point in May, hopefully. You would imagine that the Brewers are going to get better as the season goes on. A guy like Robert Gasser getting healthy, a guy like Devin Williams getting healthy will make the bullpen better. Then you can move guys back and forth between AAA and Nashville for fresh arms. I think things are looking up right now. The fact that they have 14 wins in their first 20 games without being full strength, with Yelich being hurt, with Williams being hurt, you're not going to have Woodruff for the entire season. Again, Hall hasn't been your traditional guy. Miley had started slow. There are many reasons why to be impressed and, quite frankly, to expect more from the Brewers, given they're starting off with 14 wins. I think they are sitting in a great spot, and it should be a very, very fun week against the Pirates, a four-game set coming up.
Yeah, you look at this ball club, they got the third best record in all of baseball right now when you look at what they're doing. And, you know, they're just doing things that they have to do, and I think you give credit to Murph with this spot, and it's nothing taken away from Craig Council. There's a little bit difference, but Murph is allowing these kids to go out and play, allowing these pitchers to go out and pitch and give and challenge them. We're talking the extra innings that these guys pitch. It's not just a one inning and you're out. You can play multi-innings. I think everything that he's done so far challenges the players to be the best they can be. And I think that's what's really paying off for this ball club. And the reason why you look down, you see a 14-6 record. They're leading the division now, the Cubs, by 2 games. And they're going to play a Pirate team that's playing much better. Yeah, like you say, we got to play good in the division. Well, what have they done so far? They swept the Cardinals. They took 2 out of 3 from the Reds. Good way to start inside the division.
Fantastic stuff from the Brewers, to say the least. Making it pretty easy to talk about stuff with you, Jerry Augustine. Appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll let you go for the evening. Get ready to watch some Bucks basketball later tonight, and we'll holler at you from Pittsburgh this week.
I know, Dom. I came up with some stats early in the game. So you are I was thinking about, what am I going to say here? Well, Dom, you're the king of stats, but I thought I'd just lay a couple of stats into you. I'm not a stats guy, but those are very interesting, and you're the king of stats, but this Brewer ball club is playing really well right now. They got a 4-game series in Pittsburgh. This is going to be a fun 4 games to watch. Let's get off to a good start tomorrow night.
Well, here's some stats. 279 games in the big leagues from that guy right there, Jerry Augustine. How about that? How do you like them apples, huh? This guy knows what he's talking about. Thank you, Augie.
Great being with you, Dom. Take care.
All right, Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher back in the late 70s, early 80s, joining us here on WTMJ. I want to talk a lot about Brian Hudson, talk a little bit about the lineup. A couple of texts have come in here on that as well. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Join us. Stay with us, WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Trust in your family's comfort at home all year with Cider. And now through June 15th, Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $1,500 off Central Air Systems. You can schedule an appointment today at Cider.com. That's SEIDER.com. I want to talk a lot about Brian Hudson here. Brian Hudson gets his first major league win today in his hometown, about 25 miles away from St. Louis in Southern Illinois. Hudson, 7 up, 7 down, 4 strikeouts today. His season line reads like this. 11 2/3 innings, just 5 hits allowed. That's a 128 batting average. 1 run it was earned on a homer. 2 walks, 12 strikeouts. He was acquired because the Dodgers ran out of room on their 40-man when they acquired Yoshinobu Yamamoto. They had to DFA him. The Brewers got up ahead on the waiver wire claims and decided to make a trade for him to move up ahead of everybody. And he's not going to be an unsung hero after today's game. He is going to be very sung because this dude's about to get a lot of leverage innings coming up. Given how much the bullpen has been used in this early portion of the season, him not only being able to get outs when you need him, but to be able to go multiple innings, what an asset. And he's left-handed, and he's 6'8". Come on. That was fantastic today from Brian Hudson. They were so uncomfortable, were the Cardinals. I was a little surprised that Ollie Marmol didn't bring a righty off of his bench, an Ivan Herrera, a Jordan Walker, to come in and try to shake things up. But he could not. None of those guys could make the adjustment against Brian Hudson, who earned the win today. He is in that player of the game poll that I have on my Twitter still, at Dom_Catronio. Last I saw, it was still all the Blake Perkins catch leading the way, but Hudson is in second on that one. Over 300 votes, about 10 minutes left if you want to go vote on that one. But, man, Brian Hudson, just remember how important he has been for the Brewers early in the year. I think he is going to continue to get leverage innings. And let's get ahead of ourselves here. Come All-Star break time, when Devin Williams does return, you work backwards, right? Devin has the 9th. You can have any of Piamps or Uribe or Peguero in the 8th. You can have any of Piamps or Peguero or Uribe or Hudson or Milner in the 7th. Maybe J.B. Bukauskas. Maybe Trevor Megill can be in the 6th or 7th inning too. There are weapons coming in the back of this bullpen for the Brewers. This team should, on paper, continue to get better as they get healthy. They don't have Yelly right now. They haven't had Garrett Mitchell all season long. There are a lot of ways for this team to continue to improve, even without needing to make trades or acquisitions. There is a lot of depth on this team, itching to get back and ready, healthy to go. 855-616-1620. Want to get to the phone lines here as well. Charlie and Oshkosh, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hi, Dominic. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, great start by the Brewers. I was hoping they'd get off to a good start, but they're even exceeding my expectations. They're off to a great start and loving it. You touched on it a little bit with the injuries, and obviously starting pitching is so important. Our bullpen has been fantastic, but they're going to be worn out pretty fast. Junis, you mentioned, is he throwing a little bit? And you talked about May and Gosser. I don't hear anything on Gosser. I'm still worried about Ashby because he's not, his stats aren't too good in the minors. And there was another pitcher that was injured. They traded Tyler, I can't think of his name. Do you know any more on when these could be back?
Yeah, so Junis is throwing long toss flat grounds right now. I believe he was scheduled to get up to 90 feet this weekend. There is no timetable for him to get back out onto the mound yet. I would imagine that could hopefully happen this week if things go according to plan. He will need a rehab assignment to start throwing again. He's got a shoulder impingement. As for Gasser, he was back in Arizona, but that was a lot. We got that week update about 10 days ago that he had thrown some simulated games and some innings against the extended spring training guys as he continues to work his way back from bone spurs in his elbow. They went non-surgical for his recovery, so things to keep an eye on for Gasser. As far as the last pitcher that you're thinking of, it might be Trevor McGill. McGill rejoined the team this weekend, rejoined on Friday. He pitched on Friday night, so he is A-OK for the Brewers moving forward. So like I said, they are getting better with the pitching-wise, and I imagine the spot that is being vacated by D.L. Hall in the starting rotation would imagine would go to Bryce Wilson, or maybe Tobias Myers comes back up if they need that decision at some point later, if they want to go back to a six-man rotation. So a lot of those things are being considered right now. Good question, though. Appreciate you reaching out, Charlie. Take a breather. Come back with more after this. We're going till just before the bottom of the hour. We're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next here on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. Brewers win 2-0. They sweep the Cardinals. They have the third-best record in baseball. And the sun is out. All the good things. Trying to get good vibes and get the Bucks off to a good start in their playoff series. With all that being said, what did the skipper think of all of it? Here's Pat Murphy after today's win.
I mean, I think that's, again, I get redundant on these things, but, you know, Colin's very, very consistent. And when he's not as consistent and William pulls him in, William has emerged as that guy that understands it and really takes it. His instincts for the game is incredible. So, yeah, those guys worked together and got it worked out to give us 5+. And then the job that Huddy did, you know, a little bit underrated. You know, like this kid's been really, really good. You know, he almost didn't make the team out of spring training. And, you know, that kid's been great. And then, again, Pagero pitched well in the big time, and Piamps came back and was great. So,
reference the context too. I mean, you lose a starter today, you're kind of holding that together for Raiden to get past those first two innings with a high pitch count, and then get into the six.
I mean, you're right. I mean, it's the guys are battling, man. They're battling, and they're coming up big for us over and over. We faced a great starter in Sonny Gray. The kid's been great for a long time. I've never seen him bad. You know, every time I've seen him, he's been great. And he was great today. And he had to scratch a couple hits off from Owen Miller off the bench. The catch that Perkins made over the fence. I was just saying that. The one thing I haven't seen Perkins do, he's done everything else for us. Left-handed, right-handed, running catches, throws, hits, bunts, stolen bases. The only thing I haven't seen him do is go over the fence and rob him, sure enough. I just said that 2 days ago. And sure enough, he jumps over the fence and catches one. I mean, that was – it's not easy to do, and it's a credit to the kid. But Terang continues to play great, swinging the bat, running the bases, doing all those things, a threat. it was, spread out. And then Owen Miller, who's been in the cooler since last year, and to get called up and get his first start and get a huge hit, it's, it says a lot about him.
Murph, that's such a huge moment. I mean, it's the first inning, right? But that would have been a 3-0 deficit. Oof. Against Sonny, right? Like,
right.
I mean, even that early in the game, like, it's probably not...
Huge. Yeah. Huge turnaround. Huge play. You know, you can easily say play of the game. I was thinking... I wrote that down. I said play of the game, Perkins. He's tremendous. Tremendous catch. That changes the game. Changes the game.
What's Hudson been doing? It was fun to do in front of his family, too.
Strikes. Just that big extension strike. You look up on the board, it says 91, but it plays at about 96. And, he's been poised every time out. And, keep him healthy. We haven't been good at that, so...
I haven't been good at keeping guys healthy. That's the only thing the Brewers haven't been good at so far this season. But how about Owen Miller? I got to talk about Owen, too. I love that phrase that Pat Murphy just said. He's been in the cooler. And I caught a piece of his postgame with Sophia Minert on Bally. And the conversation was like, hey, man, like, you've barely really been playing. You got sent to AAA after having such a great start to your season last year. Obviously, you didn't finish like you wanted to. How do you stay ready? It's all about the mindset. It's all about coming to the ballpark ready to impact the game so that when the moment does come for you to impact the game, you're not caught off guard. He played a flawless first base today. He came through when they needed it most with two on to score against Sonny Gray, do the one thing that nobody else in Major League Baseball had done this year. Brewers hung two firsts on Sonny this year. He finally allowed a run, and they finally got the first walk against Sonny Gray today. Yes, he struck out 12 batters. That dude is a Cy Young Award winner. That dude's one of the best pitchers in baseball. We've seen this before. But Owen Miller, who's been seeing AAA pitching for the last few weeks, comes up, sees one of the best pitchers in baseball. Yeah, no problem. I understood how he was pitching me. Breaking ball, pulls it into left field on time, base hit, two runs. That's all they needed. Impressive stuff from Owen Miller to be ready. A text here asking, why not put Bryce Terang at the top of the lineup instead of Frelick? Frelick has been striking out a lot. They both can steal bases. I think Terang's having a lot of success kind of restarting the order there in that 6-7 spot. I like Sal being up high. I like Sal. It's tough right now without Yelich, right? Because I think if Yelich was around, maybe this could be something you reconsider. But the lineup right now is pretty balanced because there is no left-handed power. It's not like Sal is going to be asked for left-handed power if he and Terang flipped. It's not a bad idea, but I want to give it a little bit more time for Sal. Everyone strikes out. Okay, everybody does. Sal's going to get back on track here. It's been very Jekyll and Hyde, because when he's been good, he's been phenomenal. When he's been bad, it's been like, huh. I'm not worried about Sal in the slightest. Take a breather. Come back with more. Let's talk some highlights. Let's relive some of the chaos of this game. We got another 15 minutes or so here on the program, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers looking for a sweep going up against the Cardinals, and a pair of sweeper specialists getting the ball, Sonny Gray and Colin Ray. Things started quickly, though, for the Cardinals' offense. A pair of singles in the first. Lars Nootbaar at the plate worked ahead 2-0 against Colin Ray, and man, he got quite a present from his center fielder.
2-0 pitch. This is a high fly ball out to right center field. Perkins on the run, onto the warning track, backing up to the wall. He reaches up and he pulls it back. Blake Perkins, a superhero, act out in center field. And that was going to be a home run. He just took one away from Lars Nootbaar. What a play by Blake Perkins out in center. Wow.
What a call from Lane Grindle as well. That would have made it 3-0. Instead, Ray managed to escape the first inning a few batters later. He had more trouble in the second inning after a leadoff double and a one-out walk, but both of them were left stranded after Donovan struck out and Contreras would ground out. Then Ray would find his groove in the third inning, keeping a hitter that's off to a slow start down.
1-2. Swing and a miss. Blew him away with a high fastball, and Colin Ray, that was exactly what he was looking for. Much much less stress in the third, his first 1-2-3.
Josh Maurer on the call. 11-pitch third inning really catapulted him to greatness. He would retire 8 in a row in the middle portion of this game. The only problem was Sonny Gray was even better on the other side. He would accumulate all the way up to 12 strikeouts by the end of the game, but more drama to come in the seventh. Back to the sixth inning, though. A leadoff walk for Colin Ray against Goldschmidt chased Ray from this game. They hand the ball to Brian Hudson. First batter he faced was Alec Burleson. He struck him out. Then it was Mason Wynn. He flied out to right. Runner still stuck on first base. Then the lefty, Nolan Gorman, who had a rough weekend against the Brewers.
3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Breaking ball down and away. A strikeout of Nolan Gorman. The second ortho ASAP strikeout for Hudson in the inning. And after the leadoff walk, Hudson comes in and retires the three he faces here in the bottom of the sixth.
He wouldn't be done. More on him in just a moment. But now momentum still stalled 0-0 as we enter the seventh. Gray collected his 12th K to start the frame. That was against Hoskins. Then Blake Perkins, who else, lines a single up the middle to start the rally. Then Bryce Terang singled up the middle. That moved Perkins from first to third. Men on the corners, one out. Owen Miller making his first start of the regular season up from AAA just this past week. Came through in a massive moment.
Sonny Gray with a 2-2 pitch. Swing and a line drive. Base hit left field. Owen Miller delivers. In from third, Perkins. Right behind him comes Terang. Owen Miller's first hit with the Brewers this year. It's a go-ahead two-run single in the seventh. 2-0 Milwaukee.
That would be the last pitch that Gray threw. The bullpen would take over from there. But it's still a razor-thin margin. Only 2-0 Brewers with the lead. Hudson returned for the seventh inning. He went 1-2-3 there. He came back for the eighth inning, left on left with Lars Nootbaar.
Seven pitches in this battle so far. Here comes number eight. And he got him looking. Cutter caught the outside edge, and Lars Nootbaar is very animated and in disagreement with Alex Tosi.
I mean, he jumped almost 6 feet up into the air in disagreement with the play. That would be the last batter Hudson would face. Seven up, seven down, four strikeouts. Maybe the best outing in his young big league career. Left him in line from the win. Figueroa would have to stress through the eighth inning after a walk and a single, but he would leave both of them stranded. In the ninth, the Brewers failed to add anything, but in the bottom of the ninth inning, it handed over to Yoel Piamps. He struck out Gorman. He got Herrera to ground out. All that was left was the top of the order and Donovan.
The 0-1 pitch. Ground ball to first. Miller gobbles it up. He'll win the race to the bag. And the Brewers break out the brooms against the Birds. It's a sweep in St. Louis as they win this afternoon, shutting out the Cardinals 2-0.
Lane Grindle's final call. You could hear the Boo Birds in the background. What a stretch to start the road trip for the Brewers. They get two runs on six hits, no errors. They left five. Cardinals, no runs, six hits, no errors. They left 10. And congrats to Brian Hudson, his first big league win in just 25 miles from his hometown in southern Illinois. Brewers win 2-0. They're in first place in the Central. Vibes are at an all-time high. We'll preview what's to come with the Pirates. We'll look around the out-of-town scoreboard coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh? All right, last segment of the program. Then we'll step aside for Bucks coverage here coming up at the bottom of the hour. Tip-off is set for 6:10. You can hear it right here on WTMJ. Game 1, Pacers-Bucks coming up in just a little bit. Looking around the big leagues today, the best news of the day, not only do you sweep the Cardinals, but the Cubs lose again today. The Cubs lost 6-3 today. Man, Kyle Hendricks, we might be near the end. Another tough day for Kyle Hendricks, the last active Cub from that World Series team in 2016 that's still on the team, I should say. Of course, Jason Hayward is now a Dodger, but Hendricks, four innings, six hits, four runs. He has struck out five. He also allowed a homer. His ERA is 12. Not great for him, but a Marlins win today as they had split the doubleheader yesterday, and they win 6-3 and split the four-game series. Other games that have gone final within a division, the Reds swept the Angels 3-0. They just boat raced them all weekend long. But Frankie Montas had a bruise on a comebacker on his forearm, so he is maybe going to be in peril for his next start. Brewers don't see them again for a while, so that'll be nothing for them to worry about. Dodgers putting a hurt on the Mets today, avoiding a sweep. So the Dodgers are up 10-0 right now out at Chavez Ravine. Padres leading the Blue Jays 4-3. They're heading to the bottom of the eighth inning right now. The Diamondbacks are dealing with yet another injury. They've been the most injured team in baseball right now. Blaze Alexander, their star rookie shortstop, who had come up and really been blazing, pardon the pun, because Geraldo Perdomo got hurt. And the reason why Blaze got called is because Jordan Lawler got hurt. So that is three shortstops now that they have had injured. Kevin Newman is their shortstop. Anyway, Diamondbacks are up 3-2. They're heading to the top of the ninth inning in San Francisco. Slade Ciccone pitched pretty darn well for the D-backs today. Sunday Night Baseball later tonight, it is the Braves hosting the Rangers. That's over on ESPN. Nats shut out the Astros. When do we got to start talking about the Astros? They are 7-16 under first-year manager Joe Espada. Josh Hader hasn't been himself. Brian Abreu, Ryan Pressly, they have not been themselves. Jose Abreu has struggled at first base once again. Things to monitor as the Astros will be coming to town in a couple of weeks. Red Sox beat the Pirates. So the Pirates, after such a great start at the beginning of the year, they have fallen back down to .500. They have become much more human on the offensive side of the baseball, and they have now lost six consecutive games. The beginning of the year, at one point, they were 9-2. Since then, they are 2-9. Baseball will humble you quick, and they are the next opponent for the Brewers. That leads us into a four-game series. 6:40 first pitch Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and a 12:35 first pitch. I beg your pardon, those are all Eastern time. So 5:40 first pitch Central time Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then 11:35 first pitch on Thursday, and then the Brewers come home for the Yankees over the weekend. Looking at the projected starters for the week, it'll be Joe Ross tomorrow against the talented rookie Jared Jones. Ross, 1-1, 4.91 ERA, had the bad luck loss in his last outing last week. Then he'll be going up against Jared Jones, 1-2, 3.13 ERA, again 5:40. First pitch. Wade Miley not missing an extra day at all after taking the comebacker off the knee against the Padres. He gets the start on Tuesday against, finally, a lefty. Bailey Falter will get the ball for the Pirates. The Brewers have not seen a lefty for a while after all that talk from opening weekend, seeing a lefty with Jose Quintana, then seeing a lefty again the following weekend, but really nothing else since. Quinn Priester will have the ball on Wednesday, and then Mitch Keller on Thursday. The Brewers are TBA and TBA. I would imagine that would be Bryce Wilson on Wednesday as things shake out right now. And then on Thursday, you have to decide, okay, are they going to put Freddie back on 5 days rest, or do they want to bring somebody up for that start? You would be eligible to bring Aaron Ashby back if you wanted to after it has been 15 days since he has been down in the minor leagues, but these are decisions the people that get paid more than you and I make for the Brewers. A couple of other interesting notes right now for the Brewers. They are now a perfect 13-0 when leading after seven innings this season. Winning again today, they're a perfect 14-0 when leading after eight as well. And even when they don't hit a home run like they did today, obviously just two runs scored, they are 5-1 when they don't hit a home run. Last year, I cannot say that was the same. The Brewers' offense has just been so dynamic, such a different story with the Brewers all year long. Pat Murphy, obviously, 14 wins as well, tied for the second most wins in the first 20 games of a Brewers manager career. So he is in great company with that stat, too. Love what we have seen out of them. And just for a context note, last year in the regular season, when the Brewers did not hit a home run, they were 13 games below .500. They were 24-37. They relied on the home run ball all year last season. This year, they've been able to survive without it. And I know today wasn't a one-run game, but they're 5-0 in one-run games. And let's also be real for a second here as we wrap up the program with this. 14-6 in your first 20, baseball has a funny way of humbling you. Just like we talked about with the Pirates, There could be a 1-5 stretch in here somewhere. There could be a 2-8 stretch coming up. That's how baseball works. But the fact that you have taken 3-0 from the Cardinals, 2 out of 3 from the Reds, is certainly going to be an impact later in the season when you start seeing these teams a little bit more frequently, when the games start mattering a little bit more, when you're begging for as many wins as you can get. To start off 5-1 against your division has been great. And now you're facing the Pirates at maybe the perfect time, given they have lost 6 in a row for a 4-game set out in Pittsburgh, and we will have coverage for you all week long. Tomorrow we're on WTMJ. Don't worry. Tuesday we'll be over on WKTI, ESPN Milwaukee, for that post-game show. Wednesday we'll be right back here as well. Thursday day game, of course, no show after that. So plenty of content to come your way. Find us in the podcast feed, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcast, to hear everything you want to hear about the Brewers all season long. My thanks to Jerry Augustine for joining us here on the program. Also our producer, Evan Witalison. Brewers win 2-0. They sweep the Cardinals. Now it's on to Pittsburgh. I'm Dominic Catronio. Enjoy the Bucks game. And until next time, keep on swinging.